fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. If you didn't have a chance to tune into last week's program, I picked up the passages that the church gives us each day that leads us to walk with the apostles after the resurrection, really after Pentecost and the growth of the church when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and moved them, empowered them to engage what Jesus called them to do, which was to engage the proclamation of the gospel, to go make disciples of all nations. The early life of the apostles, what's recorded in the Acts, is such a dynamic and important story for us to be able to internalized, for us to be able to lay hold of in our own lives. Because what we see is Jesus' intention, God the Father's intention for building the church on the fundamental preaching of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to watch how the Holy Spirit leads the apostles to build the kingdom of God on earth, to build the church. And it shows us so clearly the mission that we're called to. And over the last, you know, how many popes now since John the 23rd, there's been such a strong exhortation from Peter to each one of us in the church to engage the new evangelization, to open our hearts to the grace of a new Pentecost, to be able to each of us personally understand that Jesus has called us to follow in the footsteps of the apostles. We don't have the same apostolic responsibility, the vast majority of us, that the apostles have, but we all are called to mission by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation. And Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, pressed in on that subject over and over again. He's concerned, I think, that for many Catholics we've lost sight of, and really for many Christians, we've lost sight of the fact that we are essentially in Christ born into mission by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings us to new life. It gives us a new power and capacity to love the Lord, to know the Lord, and to be able to walk in His footsteps, to pursue a life of holiness that we're destined for, that we're made for. But it also, as Pope John Paul II said, is the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us is meant to release power. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses. Jesus said to the apostles, you will be clothed with power, and then you'll be able to go forward and proclaim the gospel and to bring to the world the gift of the forgiveness of sins, to call the world to repentance and receive God's mercy, to be able to come out of the place of hostility to God, to be in a sin-sick condition that's unrepentant and not fully living in the freedom yet of the sons and daughters of God, to receive the grace of forgiveness, baptism, the grace of the Holy Spirit. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, said this. He's so concerned about our identity that we become clear about who we are. He said, I think because many of the baptized have forgotten what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how much the joy of the gospel, which is the title of his apostolic exhortation, that the joy of the gospel, he says, is rooted in a missionary joy. That the joy of the Christian life is the realization and then the experience, the realization that I've been sent by Christ, that I'm empowered to live a new way of life, to go forward and share the good news of the person of Jesus Christ and the difference he makes in my life, and to tell the story of what Christ has accomplished for us. And then to experience the power to do it, to release courage and boldness and compassion and mercy to be able to lead us out. Paragraph 273 in his exhortation, he said, I am a mission on this earth. That is the reason why I'm here in this world. We have to regard ourselves as sealed, even branded by this mission of bringing the light, blessing, enlivening, raising up, healing, and freedom to people. We've been branded by Christ. We've been set apart, sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and commissioned. So he said, each of us has been given a clear identity. We shouldn't be confused about it. No matter who we are, no matter where we are born into, as he says in another place, into a permanent state of mission, a constant missionary zeal that the Holy Spirit wants to stir up within our hearts so that we can engage the proclamation of the gospels, just as the apostles did. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 4. Kind of where we left off last week, where the apostles Peter and John had healed the crippled man at the Gate Beautiful, and he was able to stand, and he was so full of the joy of the Lord, he could walk and leap, and he was praising God. And it caused quite a stir in the temple, because all those who went in and out of the temple knew who he was, because he regularly sat at the gate begging. Well, that caused problems with the religious leaders, the high priest and the Sadducees and the religious rulers at the time. So they had Peter and John arrested, were brought in, and then they were warned not to speak the name of Jesus anymore. We're going to see this tension now, ironically, between the religious leaders and the apostles. Here, these religious leaders have been given responsibility to govern the people of God at the time, the people of Israel. Yet God, working in Jesus Christ and empowering the apostles to bring the fulfillment of the longing and the prophetic anticipation of the people of Israel for the coming of the Messiah and the beginning of the new creation, the establishment of the kingdom of God, they resist it. They resist it because they're in their grooves. They resist it because they don't want to give up their authority. They resist it because they're threatened by these guys who have no education, but they're doing things that the chief priests themselves have never done. That is, working signs and wonders, and the crowds are following them, and it's disturbing the leadership. So now, Peter and John are released, and then the passage is taken up at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and following. After they're released, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, "Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant." Here's a quote now from the psalm. "Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples entertain folly? The kings of the earth took their stand against the princes gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." So they're the psalm that they knew well. They prayed the psalms. They sang the psalms. It's a psalm about the world setting itself against the Lord. And so they're saying, here we are, simply testifying to the Lord, the amazing reality, the fact of his resurrection from the dead, the mercy that comes through the cross of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We proclaim it. What happens? We experience tremendous resistance. It's the fulfillment of what King David had essentially prophesied, is what they're saying. So he goes on, "Indeed, they gathered in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your will had long ago planned to take place. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness as you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." As they prayed, the place where they gathered shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So here we're given the section from the Acts of the Apostles. Remember now, if we go back, Jesus told the apostles. At the end of Luke's gospel, we have a record there of Jesus, the appearance of Christ after his resurrection to the apostles. He gathers them together and he points out to them that everything that had happened to him, the crucifixion, what looked like defeat, was in fact God the Father's plan unfolding just as he desired it to. He said to the apostles, "Everything that happened was according to the scripture. There's nothing outside my control, nothing outside the Father's control." Now, because of the deed Jesus accomplished on the cross, forgiveness of sins is now made available to the whole human race. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem that was separating the human race from God. The sin problem produces the death problem. Humanity is enslaved to the power of sin, deep, deep within our hearts. Jesus came to destroy that specific power, and he did that on the cross. He became a sacrifice for sin. He took away something from us, and he wants to give something to us. What he took away was the power of sin, was the rule of the world of flesh and the devil, and the dominance of the world of flesh and the devil over our lives. So we could be free to come into the purpose for which we were made, to become sons and daughters of God, living in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, living a life in obedience to God, in relationship to Him, bearing fruit for His glory. Each one of us being brought from darkness to light, from death to life, the power of Christ's death on the cross cleanses us from sin so that Jesus could then draw near to us, so that He could literally give to us the life that was in Him that raised Him from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will clothe you with power now from on high." So the apostles received that power. He said, wait in the upper room to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to wait for the fulfillment of the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the essence of Christianity, Catholicism. Receiving the transfer of life from the Son of God, who became one of us, shares with us, gives to us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. And that power moves the apostles to proclaim the gospel. And here they're seeing now, as Jesus did in Luke, now they're interpreting everything they're experiencing in the context of God's revelation given to them in Scripture. They're rejoicing. Even though they were arrested, they were threatened, they rejoice because they're able to share in precisely what Jesus had to suffer, but also what Jesus told them would happen to them. So they're not surprised. Indeed, again, I want to say, indeed, they gathered in the city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So the apostles are interpreting what happened to Jesus through the words of King David, that when the king would come, when the Lord's anointed would be here, there would be resistance. And he said, Herod resisted him, Pilate resisted him, the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, and even the peoples of Israel resisted him. They resisted what your word, Lord, spoke long ago. They resisted the one you sent. They wanted to silence your word. They said, now, Lord, take note of the threats that have come against us. Give us power now. Enable us, Lord, your servants, to speak your word with all boldness. These guys were human beings just like you and me. They were experiencing real threats from people with real authority that could make life very difficult for them. And the threats were meant to intimidate them and fill them with fear. To say, look, you're standing against us. We're the rightful leaders of the people of Israel, and you're resisting us. Don't speak His name ever again. What do? They come back together, and they said, Lord, here's the situation. They didn't want to run from it. They didn't say, Lord, save us from this. Help us, protect us. They said, Lord, give us your power. Stretch forth your hand now, Lord, with signs and wonders that will be done and continue to be done in the name of your holy servant. And as they prayed, the Holy Spirit performed a sign and a wonder right there. They were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was touching them, moving them, strengthening them, giving them encouragement, letting them know that Jesus was right there in their midst. And what was happening to them was not outside God's plan, but was right in the heart of the Lord's plan for them. This is the life the Lord calls each one of us to be able to live, to know the Holy Spirit has sent us and that He's with us until the end of the age. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.